The Bohemian Grove was founded in 1878 by the Bohemian Club, which was formed in 1872. It is 2,700 acres of private land in Mount Rio, California, where every summer in July, hundreds of the most powerful and influential men attend what is known as the Cremation of Care ceremony. An early version of it was photographed in 1915 and published by National Geographic. In 1989, a writer for Spy magazine infiltrated Bohemian Grove and mentioned the Cremation of Care ceremony, but did not mention the effigy. The article mostly focused on powerful drunk men dressing in drag and engaged in homoerotic behavior. In 2000, when Alex Jones captured the ceremony on video, you can see an effigy, a model of a person to be destroyed, being burned alive in a ritual sacrifice.
This summer sets us free!
Around the time that Alex Jones was there filming it, musician Kid Rock was there as a guest.
Did you?
You went to the Grove?
Yeah.
It was the first evening, and you gather around whatever, the owl by this lake, if I remember correctly, which could be a little hazy. It was a long time ago. And, like, I've heard about this place. I'm like, this is some real secret-ass shit, man. I can't believe I'm fucking here, right? And it's just a trove of celebrities. I met, like, Paul Pelosi and his son.
Oh, boy.
And, like, Chris Matthews, like, you know, and,
oh, okay.
But I was hanging out with them. We were having cool conversations. Kind of weird. And then they asked me, like, I had to come play my guitar.
Oh, no.
And, like, sing at one of these camp things. And I was like, I feel so used. I feel so dirty.
The oldest religion on earth can still be found within many secret societies, the New Age movement, and hiding within many churches, mosques, and synagogues. The basis of this ancient religion is the attainment of counsel from advanced entities for one to gain earthly wealth and power. These advanced entities have a hunger for human life, which is how human sacrifice factors into this ancient transaction. By 2012, a handful of men were making individual claims that they witnessed human sacrifice at Bohemian Grove. Peter Chernoff says that the men taking part in the sacrifice went on to hold various positions of power in society.
Peter, you've witnessed children being sacrificed at the Grove?
You know, I did. At the Bohemian Grove, I was involved in a rather private ritual, Catholic, Nazi, satanic in nature, a service, a working, if you will, with nine relative unknowns at the time, so to speak. Willie Brown, Arlen Specter, Barney Frank, Roger Mahoney, Ratzinger, who's now the Pope, Robert Byrd, George Bush Sr., and Warren Buffett, and the master of ceremonies was Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino. The Cremation of Care, what it is, really, it's a discussion regarding population control. They're making decisions as to what group of millions of people they're going to genocide next, and we all have seen the genocides over the last 10, 15 years for anybody that's paying even a modicum of attention.
Over the years, other people have snuck inside to take video.
No way. Bohemian Grove. I made it.
In a phone conversation published by former Project Veritas employee Justin Leslie, James O'Keefe is asked about his recent attendance at the Bohemian Grove.
I was just a guest. I didn't see anything wrong there. Some of our people that I've known for many years were there. If I saw something, I would tell you, but you know, I think there's a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff, and I didn't see anything. And there's a lot of people that support us that are involved in that.
This year, the Cremation of Care ceremony was conducted on July 13th, the same day that Trump narrowly survived an assassination attempt. This ancient religion is entrenched within the foundations of civilization. It is the culture that created democracy.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you. the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
It's Wednesday, August 14th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody's stuff together.
Good morning, okay, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. Very happy to be here this morning. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to get into politics, we're going to get into geopolitics, we're going to get into the obvious and, at this point, exposed purpose of the mass immigration crisis into Europe at large. I don't know if you were watching the Alex Jones show yesterday. He was going off on the migrants and talking about the fact that they're importing, what was the term that he used? Something about cavemen, calling them drunken cavemen or something. And he was talking about the fact and showing videos, and you can find it on InfoWars.com now. Videos where, like, there's television shows where they're teaching and showing 10-year-old girls, 10-year-old white girls being in relationships with grown men from foreign countries. And it's one of the things that it's so bizarre. It's so, like, outside of the realm of anything that, like, anybody can imagine happening. It's almost, like, too far to discuss. Like, it's almost too crazy. But I got to be honest. I got more videos. I got even crazier things, and I don't know if we'll be able to pull some of those together, but I don't know if I've ever seen that stuff on InfoWars, and it was interesting. It was interesting seeing it on InfoWars. It's all very weird. I don't even know if I'm going to get into that. That was just what popped up on my homepage today, and we start off the show today with a video about Bohemian Grove. Austin realized that the cremation of care happened to be on July 13th. What a coincidence that is. Today, Trump was nearly assassinated. It's almost like we should start every show with a reminder about Bohemian Grove. Like, Bohemian Grove, it practically seems like old news now, right? It's like, this was exposed in 2001 by Alex Jones. It's been 20-plus years that people have just known what happens there. But it's like we almost constantly need to remind ourselves the richest and most powerful people in the world come together to scream like banshees while they burn an effigy in front of a giant statue of an owl. Like, if we just start off with that as a basis of understanding and just say, okay, this is the world we're talking about. By the way, when we start talking about all of this other crazy stuff and how insane all of it is, let's just remind ourselves that the strings are being pulled by insane pagan cultists who get together and wear robes and march around with torches and diddle each other in the woods. We're run by a bunch of creepy perverts, Satan worshipers. It sort of makes everything else make a lot of sense, doesn't it? Like, if we just start with that as a basis, I don't want to hear you say any of this stuff is far-fetched. I don't want to hear anybody say, oh, there's no way that could happen. That's I can't imagine. That's too fantastical. It's like, well, we live in a world where the business leaders and the politicians and the superstars and the everybody, they all come together and do gay stuff in the woods as part of a satanic ceremony every year. And they have since the 1800s. So, yeah, anything's possible. Anything is possible. And it all becomes a lot easier to understand when you realize the spiritual makeup of the people that run our country. It's almost just a weird position to be in that it's like that was exposed 20 years ago and it's just still going on and nobody cares, apparently. Like, nobody outside of us seems to think this is weird. We just sort of accept it now. Okay. All right. Great. Anyway, we got so much to talk about. I need to stop rambling. We're probably going to start off talking a little bit about old Tim Walz. We'll just get that out of the way and then move on to some of the more important topics. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 14th of August, 2024. Harris-sponsored Google ads suggest publishers are on her side, is the deceptive headline from Axios that leaves you less informed than when you started reading it. What it's saying is that the Harris campaign has been editing news headlines and descriptions within Google search ads that make it appear as if The Guardian, Reuters, CBS News, and other major publishers are on her side, Axios has found. It's common practice in the commercial advertising world that doesn't violate Google policies, but the ads mimic real news results from search closely enough that they have news outlets caught off guard. According to Google's Ad Transparency Center, the Trump campaign is not running these types of ads, but this technique has been used by campaigns before. The ads say that they are sponsored, but it's not immediately clear that the text accompanying the real news links is written by the campaigns and not by the media publication itself. So they're running ads, but the ads are news stories, and then they rewrite the headline, like the text of the ad, makes it look like the headline is approving of Kamala Harris, even though it's not. It's deceptive because these people are liars. And I think it's interesting that in this news story about the Harris campaign using this deceptive and manipulative practice, using a form of manipulation that, you know, some people have been sent to jail for if you do it, you know, on your own, by yourself, make people think that, you know, the news is saying one thing when it's not. Like, that's, you know, I'm thinking of Douglas Mackey, Ricky Vaughn, not exactly the same, but you can be sent to jail for deceptive practices surrounding an election these days. So, but that's only if you're on your own and going for Trump. If you're a giant Democratic machine, then I guess you can do it. But it's interesting that in the article describing the way the Harris campaign is using this fake news deceptive practice to trick people, the first thing they say is, you know, the Trump hasn't done this before, but other campaigns have. So, you know, maybe he has before. We haven't checked yet. It's like, okay, thank you for telling me that Trump didn't do this, but just tell me about the bad thing that Kamala Harris did. There's something weird in the Democrat psyche where it's just like they have this ability. They can turn stories about their side doing wrong into like an accusation against Trump. It's all very typical. Meanwhile, Ilhan Omar wins primary after squad sees major losses. So she's ended the squad's losing streak. She's clinched victory in a closely watched primary after two losses for the progressive squad. She beat back a more moderate challenger on Tuesday, capping off a series of primaries facing the progressive squad that has been the target of millions of dollars from pro-Israel groups. And I'm neutral on this, I guess. Yeah, congratulations, Ilhan Omar, overcoming Israel's influence in a foreign country attempting to rig our elections, doing so successfully with millions upon millions of dollars to the opponents of Israel and the American government. I guess I'm sort of torn here because, well, it's just America is just a battleground for foreign interests. Like, you've got this district that was just handed to a bunch of Somalians. Like, they just brought in hundreds of thousands of Somalians, put them all in one district. We're like, here, this is your Congress seat now. You can put whoever you want and vote on ethnic, religious lines. Vote for the person that looks like you, and you'll just be in charge of this whole area. And then you'll have a congressman to not focus on the, you know, wider issues of governance of the nation, but instead is there solely to get you and your people more stuff and better advantages and, you know, your particular interests. So in a way, you know, it's just a foreign colony on American land. So my instinct is to side with Ilhan Omar because the people at trying to oust her are just like not even nominally American. There's Israeli, people giving money for the benefit of their country to try to oust this person. And I would rather have the people that live here choose their leaders outside of that influence. But I don't feel like she's particularly American in the first place. So it's like a wash, I guess. Meanwhile, Ukraine is advancing deeper into Russia, Zelensky says. Ukraine attacked Russia with 117 drones. Biden says the incursion is a real dilemma for Putin. Russian National Guard beefs up security at nuclear plant. Russia fighting intense battles in Kursk, bloggers say. Ukraine said on Wednesday its forces had advanced further into Russia's Kursk region in the biggest foreign incursion into Russia since World War II, posing a dilemma for President Vladimir Putin, according to U.S. President Joe Biden. Thousands of Ukrainian troops rammed through the Russian border in the early hours of August 6th into Russia's western Kursk region in what Putin called a major provocation aimed at gaining a stronger hand in possible future ceasefire talks. Well, we can only hope. We can only hope that this is, again, like I said in the first place, some sort of face-saving measure by Ukraine so they can actually enter into peace talks, not totally empty-handed. But it seems much more likely that this incursion is simply the beginning of a wider, expanded, and more disastrous war. And we'll talk about an InfoWar story here in just a second. Basically, Biden has admitted that U.S. NATO troops have come in direct contact with Russian troops, which is insane and horrifying, but happening, whether we like it or not. Meanwhile, in America, Haitian migrant accused of raping disabled teen in Massachusetts arrested again after being released on $500 bail. A Haitian migrant charged with the rape of a 15-year-old disabled girl in Massachusetts has been arrested again after he was previously released on a $500 bail after the suspected crime took place at a hotel in Rockland, Massachusetts. According to Fox reporter Bill Malugin, ICE has arrested Corey Alvarez, 26, who came into the U.S. using the Biden-Harris administration's immigration parole program for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. Alvarez was previously released when a court did not honor an ICE detainer filed against him in Massachusetts. In a press release, ICE confirmed that Alvarez was arrested by Enforcement and Removal Operations Boston on August 13th near his Brockton residence. Customs Border Protection admitted Alvarez into the country illegally on June 26th, but he violated the terms of his admittance, ICE said. Alvarez remains in ERO custody. But he was let out. He was bailed with a $500 bail. Pretty incredible. He was supposed to be with a sponsor from New Jersey, but ended up in a hotel with other migrants in Rockland where the rape occurred. He was initially arrested on March 13th and pled not guilty to one count each of aggravated rape of a child with a 10-year age difference. And they said, you get out of here. Give us $500 and get out of here, you. Just arrested crossing the border, arrested again, arrested after raping a disabled girl. Let out with $500 bail, arrested a third time. You just got to think about all of the man hours and all of the effort put into this. I mean, who knows? I know deportation processing typically takes like $10,000 a person. Because you think about the judge's time and the lawyer's time, and it adds up. It starts to add up. So, just so you're clear, I mean, I would guess, I don't know, American taxpayers have probably paid $100,000 for the privilege, you know, we've paid for the ability for this retarded criminal to rape disabled girls. So just let's just remind, it's not just the human cost, the cost of the crime and the vicious activity. It's also just the sheer cash cost of putting our police officers' lives in danger to go arrest violent criminals over and over and over again when we could just put them to work. We could be very merciful and just lock them away forever. We got more stories about immigration today as well. It's been a wild 24 hours in the immigration front. Meanwhile, American Society of Plastic Surgeons calls efficacy of child sex changes into question, breaks from gender-affirming approach. Yes, folks, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, representing 11,000 members or over 90% of those working in the field in the U.S. and Canada, has raised concerns over surgical sex change for minors, telling a Manhattan Institute fellow, Lior Sapir, that the, quote, existing evidence base is viewed as low quality and low certainty. Amazing, isn't it? This is probably the first, you know, society like this to actually break from the zeitgeist and the presumed, you know, accepted medical efficacy of gender transition, which is crazy, which is just crazy. How is anybody with even, you don't need medical training. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't even need to be a scientist. You don't even need to be particularly interested in the topic. It is prima facie. It is in your face. It is obvious. Genitally mutilating children is not a cure for anything. Okay? Does this have to be explained? Do we really have to? The Pediatric Society, Medical Society, and probably the Heart Society and the Hair Regrowth Society, they are all on board with permanently mutilating children who have psychological issues. What? Like, this is one of those things that it's like, how do you fix a world where every major establishment medical institute is promoting not just something that is delusional beyond explanation, that's, as I said, just on the face of it, absurd. Which would be one thing, but the absurdity in this case results in permanent physical mutilation of children. So it's like, it'd be one thing if they just had some, I don't know, some belief that just didn't make any sense. Like in the UK, it's now, as of today, the NHS is required to ask men if they're pregnant before x-raying them. You know what? That's nonsense. Just like transgender children, genital mutilation surgery, it is scary that the instant somebody even hinted at this coming up, the entire room didn't bust out in laughs and then fire the person, right? It's amazing that it somehow makes it all the way through every level of our society to the point that it's now like a law in Britain that nurses have to go, and are you pregnant by any chance? And the man sitting there just has to be like, no. Like, okay, great. Check the box. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy that it got to that place. But you know what? Pretty harmless. Pretty Excuse harmless me, sir. In the full mix of things.
Do you have a little bugger up your butt?
Yeah.
Before we do this x-ray?
any tumors that are living inside of you? Yeah, it's a... But you know what? It's a quick question. It's a checkbox on a form. It's absurd. It's retarded. It makes no sense. It is baffling. I mean, truly baffling. But, you know, what's the harm? What's you ask a guy if he's pregnant, he says no. Okay. You ask him if he can fly, he says no. You know, like, whatever. Ask him a question where the answer is obviously no. What's the harm? In this case, the harm is, and I will say it for like the fifth time in the last 5 minutes, permanent genital mutilation of children. So it's wild. It is wild that this is the case. And we've covered it in the last few months. More and more studies have come out. Not only is gender reassignment surgery not effective at curing the symptoms or the effects of gender dysphoria, it makes it worse. You're more likely to commit suicide after a transgender affirmation surgery. You are more likely to be oppressed. You're more likely to suffer psychological issues after the surgery.
Yeah, but you're less likely to have an orgasm.
Oh, you're actually, it's a 0% chance. Actually, they're on record. They're like, trans surgeons are like, yeah, the people I've done the surgery, they've never achieved sexual climax ever in their lives. It's like, okay, so you're just robbing children of their ability to ever in the future experience the act of physical love. Incredible. And just everybody agrees on this. If I just felt like it was easier to nod along, I guess. I guess it's typical of an InfoWars story where it's like, this is good news. It's good news that a single society of, you know, physicians decided to break from the universal and monolithic insanity that has consumed the rest of the medical industry. That's good. That's good that they broke away. It's crazy that they had to. It's troubling that it got to this point. And it's one of the things I feel like I've explained so many times, but if you don't understand the basis of this and the way that this all works, we don't even have time to get into it. It used to be called gender dysmorphia, now it's gender dysphoria. And the idea is that you're suffering, you're being caused pain because of something happening in your mind. And it was a change from your mind is out of whack with your body, and therefore that's causing you trouble, and so we need to fix your brain to be okay with the body that you're in, because that's reality, to being flipped around completely to where they say your body is out of whack with your brain, so we have to fix your body to be in line with your brain. It seems like a subtle distinction, but it keeps it as a medical diagnosis, a psychiatric diagnosis, psychological, you know, issue that can therefore be charged to the insurance companies, and you perform a physical intervention to deal with a mental illness, unlike anything else in the world. But it's these rhetorical games, and it's the way these syndromes are named and these pathologies are categorized that allows them to push this as if this is a medical intervention for a medical problem rather than a psychological issue that cannot be solved by physical mutilation. And again, how they got away with this, how it got to this point, is truly beyond belief. And that's all I have to say about it. I mean, that's it. So the plastic surgeons are saying, yeah, no, this isn't really the case. You don't actually have long-term benefits from this. And actually everything that we're pretending to cure gets worse if we do this intervention. So it's not like, you know, it's like treating somebody who has depression with a flamethrower. Like, yeah, they have depression, and so we hit them with a flamethrower for a few seconds. Now they're severely burned and have no hair. Their depression is worse, and they have massive physical ailments at this point. That's what we're doing. And it's like, oh, look, a medical institute broke away from the consensus that we should burn people with depression with a flamethrower to cure them.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com. Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. All right. We got a lot to get into. Immigration. War between Israel and Iran. And U.S. and Russia. Do this real quick. We'll do this real quick because this is pretty interesting. I think this is pretty interesting. From Variety, J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk have both been named in a criminal complaint filed to French authorities over alleged acts of aggravated cyber harassment against Algerian boxer who was newly crowned Olympic champion Emane Khelif. So yeah, the man that was competing in the women's boxing tournament, who first, you know, people were aware of him when the Italian boxer dropped out after 30 seconds, saying, "There's no way I can do this. You're making me fight a man." And the headlines were all like, "Boxer previously disqualified for, you know, previously disqualified from other boxing championships for having a male level of testosterone." That's how they described it.
And apparently now this person is suing multiple people, J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk included, for talking about this. On August 13th, the National Center for the Fight Against Online Hatred contacted the OCLCH, Central Office for the Fight Against Crimes Against Humanity and Hate Crimes. Crimes Against Humanity and Hate Crimes. For being like, yeah, that's a dude. That person boxing in the Olympics is a dude. And the funny part is, people, so this person won the gold. And when they did, there were all these posts being like, what's his name again? Imane Khalif. Like, Imane Khalif shows her haters, you know, didn't let the haters stop her to get the gold. It's like, no, the haters think she's a man. So her winning gold, not exactly disabusing them of that idea. It's not like they're upset. It's like, no, obviously you're going to win. You're going to win gold because you're a man. It's like, yeah, but she won the gold. So, you know, stick it up your butts, haters. And it's like, no, obviously she's going to win gold. That's sort of the point that we're making, actually.
He won the gold.
He won the gold. Doesn't prove us wrong. It's the opposite, actually. The lawsuit was filed against X, which under French law means that it was filed against unknown persons. That ensures the prosecution has the latitude to be able to investigate against all people, including those who may have hidden hateful messages under pseudonyms, said Bowdy, the lawyer. The complaint nevertheless mentions famously controversial figures. J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk are named in the lawsuit, among others. Adding that Donald Trump would be part of the investigation, Trump tweeted, so whether or not he's named in our lawsuit, he will inevitably be looked into as part of the prosecution. Okay, Trump did not tweet anything about this person on X, for sure. But I don't even think he said anything anyway. This person, Caliph, has been... Scientifically, this is not a man fighting a woman. You know, you can tell what the truth is by these little... There's usually like one word. There's like one or two words. They're the weasel words. And they tell you what the truth is. See, if this statement were true, they would not need the word scientifically. When they say scientifically, this is not a man fighting a woman... Well, if it wasn't a man fighting a woman, you would say this is not a man fighting a woman. When you have to add the word scientifically, well, now we're in the weeds. There's another one like this. Oh, yeah, there's headline after headline about Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister of Britain. And it's like, no, Keir Starmer did not directly stop the prosecution of the rape gangs in Rochdale. And it's like, well, why'd you put the word directly in? Why'd you put that word in there? Because he did have a hand in it. He just like gave orders to somebody who then did it. And so there's like a degree of separation. So you add the word directly and you leave people with the impression that he didn't have anything to do with shutting down the investigation. But in reality, he did. It's these little weasel words, directly, scientifically, technically. And the important thing about this is you've got these laws being passed and enacted right now all over the European Union with the Digital Services Act, but you're seeing the way that it's happening in the just brutal crackdown of UK citizens being sent to prison for chanting or for tweeting something that only 9 people see. And right now this is being used in a variety of different ways, but especially by the state for cracking down on dissent. And labeling dissent as hate and, you know, therefore justifying censorship in whatever form you want it to take. And this is now being sort of expanded to the personal level. This person has not been attacked. This person has not lost job opportunities because of this, right? They haven't lost sponsorship deals because of the tweets that were made. There was no... you know, monetary damage that was done. It was just offense. It was just, he didn't like what people were saying about him. So now he's suing them. And whether or not the case goes to trial or whether they have to defend themselves or whatever, it's a burden on people who choose to point out the obvious. And we're setting up, and in this case, you're seeing it in a global manifestation. We've got an Algerian guy filing things in a French court to go after an American company run by a South African and a UK author. It's like global silencing of the obvious because it offends the liars. And we have a video of this person, I believe. Did I put it in here? Or did I forget to? Because again, in this video, okay, clip number 7. Here's a statement from this Algerian boxer about how it is suing J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk. And again, look for weasel words. Think about the way that people would say things if what they were saying was true and compare it to how they actually express themselves. Clip number 7. Here is Algerian boxer Emain Khalif. As the question of whether I qualify or not, whether I am a woman or not, I have made many statements to the media saying that I fully qualify to take part in this competition. So let's pause it right there. Would a woman ever say that? If this was a woman, is that what they would say? I think you could experiment with this. I think you could find an athlete and say, are you really a woman? And if they're really a woman, they'll say, yes, I'm a woman. What? Yes. How dare you? Right? What they wouldn't say is, technically, I qualify for this competition. Okay? That's as good as no. Just say no. Just say no. Are you a woman? Well, how offensive is that? Technically, I qualify for this competition. Okay? All right, so that's a no. So that means no, because if you were a woman, you'd say, yes, I'm a woman. If you have to say, technically, I qualify for this competition as your answer, that's a resounding no in my book. Let's go back to him. I'm a woman like any other woman. I was born a woman. I've lived as a woman. I compete as a woman. There's no doubt about that. Well, no, there is doubt about that. There are enemies of success. That is what I call them. They are just enemies of success. And it gives my gold medal an extra special taste because of their attacks. Yeah, that's what it is, folks. And you can tell because, you know, J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk, we all attacked every gold medal winner because it's just winning that we hate. What? The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with the globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalists at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal, pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with 5 other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about Israel, shall we? They're on a bit of a tear recently. Contradictory to what we keep hearing in the news. Everybody constantly talking about trying to lower temperatures, trying not to let things expand out into a wider war. Everybody, of course, knows what a disastrous global catastrophe it would be if Iran and America and Russia and China all got in on this. And so, of course, that's what they say, trying to simmer things down, trying to calm things down, trying to limit escalation. We hear it over and over, and yet every single time it escalates. And pretty much every single time it's Israel pressing the gas pedal. And it really does feel like deliberate provocation. It really does seem like we're trying to separate two dogs that are fighting each other and going at it. Just when you've got them separated and you're thinking that they might be able to calm down, Israel just pokes its head in the room and throws a stake on the floor and backs out. It's like, okay, why? But why, though? But why are you doing this? Why? And I really have innumerable stories about this. The ultimate upshot of it is that we are gearing up for war with Iran. 3 U.S. Navy warships near the Middle East on the way to the region. We have a massive deployment of ships off the Mediterranean coast. U.S. Navy is rapidly moving additional forces to the Middle East as the region remains on high alert, bracing for a potential attack on Israel by Iran and its proxies. Iranian officials have vowed to take revenge over the recent assassination of Hezbollah and Hamas leaders, both of which have been blamed on Israel. And fears continue to grow that any retaliation from Tehran and its proxies could plunge the Middle East into more violence. I'm telling you, just the way they say things, it's just all, it's like, does anybody else see this? Does anybody else just see the subtle phrasing that takes place, or does it just go right by most people? Because it's not insubstantial. Like, this makes a difference on the way people interpret things. In other words, it's a different idea when you say Iranian officials have vowed to take revenge over the recent assassinations of Hezbollah and Hamas leaders by Israel, and fears continue to grow that any retaliation. That's a very different thought than Iranian officials have vowed to take revenge over recent assassinations of Hezbollah and Hamas leaders, both of which have been blamed on Israel. It's subtle, but it's there, and it's everywhere, and it's annoying. Little subtle ways of phrasing things. They didn't say Israel didn't do it, but that's sort of the implication. That the assassination of Hamas and Hezbollah, maybe it was somebody else. Maybe it wasn't Israel, right? Maybe it was one of the other actors in the region that has a track record a mile long of assassinating Hezbollah and Hamas leaders and are at war for the specific and well-expressed purpose of killing the leadership of Hamas and Hezbollah. But can they not just say Israel assassinated these people? Well, it's not that big of a deal. Well, then just say it. Then just say Israel assassinated these. Why wouldn't you? Why is there always this subtle, you know, obfuscation of you know, who did this? Anyway, we'll keep going. I just,
but in like 4 years, there's going to be like a movie about like how the Israelis like selectively and methodically like assassinated like the bad guys.
I know. Does Israel even deny that they assassinated? Like, clearly they assassinated them. Obviously. I mean, what? Who else would it be? Maybe it'd be America, but like, that's Israel. I mean, you know, it's just these subtle little things that just infuriate me trying to get the news, and they have to just like use this little dishonest. It's like there's not even a purpose. Like, clearly Israel did these assassinations. It's not actually tricking anybody. But it's like they can't help themselves. It's like there's some sort of physical limitation that doesn't allow them to just admit that Israel carried out assassinations. They just can't do it. And it's like, why not, though? Everybody knows they did it. So, like, why are you insinuating that it's being blamed on Israel? It was Israel. Okay. All right. Facing this possibility, the Pentagon has deployed several military assets to the Middle East this month to defend Israel and the U.S. troops in the region. Most recently, on Sunday, the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin directed a submarine to the Middle East in order to carrier strike group to accelerate its transit to the region. With these forces on station, they're set to join a wide range of existing naval capabilities in the Middle East and Eastern Mediterranean that were already deployed in response to various conflicts and crises. And again, I mean, there's the number of ships and American men right now patiently awaiting their orders from Israel is astonishing. And we are clearly gearing up and prepared for and sending the signals that we will be in war with Iran if Iran chooses to do anything. So what's Israel been up to? Well, they bombed a school with a bunch of kids in it. Initial Euromed monitor investigation finds no evidence of military presence at site of Tabin school massacre in Gaza. So no proof or indication of any military operations or combatants at the Tabin school in Gaza City, whose prayer hall Israel targeted in a brutal massacre that claimed the lives of over 100 Palestinians. Quite the contrary, the location seemed to be a series of narrow buildings with sections open to each other and lacking any equipment, where dozens of Palestinian families had taken refuge after being forcibly displaced from their homes, some of which have been seen, which have been since completely erased from the civil registry. The Euromed monitor field and legal team carried out a survey and preliminary investigation at the Tabin school, which was providing shelter to over 2,500 displaced people in Gaza City. The team gathered data, recorded statements of witnesses and survivors, surveyed the location following the attack. According to all information and testimony, there were no military gatherings or centers at the school, and it was never used for military objectives. Survivors testified that the school was providing shelter to hundreds of children whose families felt safe there. But it doesn't matter. Because Israel said they thought it was Hamas. So, you know, all the children have to die. So they just mass murder hundreds of children and families sheltering because their houses were, you know, previously bombed by Israel. It's just a giant machine of death predicated on nothing, achieving nothing. and doing it right out in front of everybody. It's horrifying. From Jackman.com, Israeli prisons are a giant torture machine. A new Israeli human rights report showed that Palestinians held in Israeli prisons and detention centers during the war on Gaza are subject to torture, sexual abuse, violence, humiliation, starvation, sleep deprivation, and denial of medical care. They're operating as a system of torture camps. Palestinians have made claims about this for months. And, of course, the October 7th raid was ostensibly to free Palestinian prisoners. So it's not like this started on October 7th. But there's a report from an NGO titled Welcome to Hell. It's a quote from an Israeli soldier. Hell is no exaggeration. And we can get into the nitty-gritty details, but you know, it's all just horrifying and relentless. Israeli's media coverage of the rape of Palestinian detainees shows support for sexual violence in service of genocide. So, you know, what could be worse than rape? Rape as a tool of eradicating a people. Israel's drama around the investigation of 10 soldiers suspected of gang raping a Palestinian detainee at the ST torture facility keeps reaching new lows. The reaction from Israelis, not just on the right, but also the Israeli mainstream, has revealed a lust for sadistic revenge and an obsession with Hamas that is used to justify releasing all hell on Palestinians, including sexual abuse. In fact, the media coverage of events last week paints a grim and revealing picture of Israeli society. It began when Israeli Channel 12 broadcast a report concerning the gang rape case. The report features a segment from the security camera that caught the rape taking place, with three soldiers holding their shield up to obscure the crime from the camera. They knew exactly what they were doing. But beyond the harrowing aspect of the act itself was Channel 12's report. A full fourth of the four-minute report dedicates itself to the scrutiny of whether the detainee was a Nukba Hamas member, an elite fighter who participated in the October 7th attack. Such a focus reflects an obsession. It suggests that people deserve to get gang raped and have objects inserted into themselves, but some less so. It's like, look, a prisoner is being gang raped to the point where they have to go to the hospital. And it's like, yeah, but what did they do? Yeah, but what did they do, though? Iran takes European nations to task. We do not need your permission to retaliate against Israel. Germany says that Israel's massacre at Gaza school justified in self-defense. You know, this school I just told you about with the hundreds of children and no military installation, that was justified according to Germany. Israel has a right to defend itself. Be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational globalist deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support, spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. Talking about what Israel's been up to. Obviously, there's the gang rape controversy in the prisons. And the controversy, strangely enough, in Israel is not about whether or not this took place, but whether or not it's okay and good and fine and legal. Whether this is an appropriate method by which to wage war. And they all seem to agree that yes, it is. This, of course, comes after months of relentless bombing in the prison state of Gaza. They, of course, say that they bombed a school, killed hundreds of people a few days ago, claimed there was Hamas there. An investigation subsequently found that there was no evidence whatsoever of military activity there. Nevertheless, Germany and other Israeli allies are justifying this, saying they have a right to self-defense. Meanwhile, Haaretz, Israeli newspaper, has just come out with an investigation showing that Israeli army uses Palestinian civilians to inspect potentially booby-trapped tunnels in Gaza, saying, quote, our lives are more important than their lives. Gazans not suspected of terrorism are detained and sent as human shields to search tunnels and houses before IDF soldiers enter, with the full knowledge of senior Israeli officers, several sources say. IDF claims this practice is forbidden. At first, it's not hard to recognize them. They're usually wearing Israeli army uniforms, many of them in their 820s, and they're always with Israeli soldiers of various ranks. But if you look more closely, you'll realize that most of them are wearing sneakers, not army boots, and their hands are cuffed behind their backs, and their faces are full of fear. The soldiers call each of them a sawish, an obscure Arabic word of Turkish origin, meaning sergeant. Random Palestinians have been used by Israeli army units in the Gaza Strip for one purpose, to serve as human shields for soldiers during operations. Quote, our lives are more important than their lives, soldiers were told. The thinking is that it's better for the Israeli soldiers to remain alive and for the Shawishim to be the ones blown up by an explosive device. This description is one of many obtained by Haaretz, some from combat soldiers, other from commanders. The picture that emerges in recent months, Israeli soldiers have used human shields in this way all over Gaza. Even the chief of staff's office knows. Soldiers choose Gazans for their missions to bring them to the brigades and battalions operating in the Strip. There's a pride in it, said a source who took part in some of the locating work, and the senior rank knows about it. So they're dressing up Palestinian prisoners in IDF uniforms, handcuffing their hands behind their back, and forcing them to walk through tunnels that might be booby-trapped so that they set them off and get killed. So there's that. At this point, nearly 2% of Gaza's population has been killed by the Israeli war machine. Nearly 2% of Gaza's entire population has been killed by Israel during its genocidal war on the Strip. The Bureau said in a statement that the Israelis' war on Gaza has killed more than 39,000 Palestinians. That constitutes 1.8% of the total population of the country. According to the data, approximately 74% of those killed by Israel in Gaza are youths. The data goes on to show that 34 people have died as a result of famine that has struck the entire besieged enclave, adding that 3,500 children are at risk of death from malnutrition and shortages of food. Around 70% of the wounded in Gaza are women and children, PCBS revealed. It adds that 10,000 people are missing and that around 2 million people have been displaced. Washington was behind the delivery of nearly 30,000 bombs to Israel, which have been used without restriction on its war on the Strip. Last week, the U.S. greenlighted a $3.5 billion weapons package to Israel. And just today, U.S. approves another $20 billion in weapons to Israel amid threat of wider Middle East war. So this, I guess, is a reward for blowing up the school full of children. $20 billion. The U.S. has approved $20 billion in arms sales to Israel, including scores of fighter jets and advanced air-to-air missiles, the State Department announced Tuesday. More than 50 F-15 fighters and a whole hell of a lot more. So this isn't going to end anytime soon. And in fact, the Israeli government seems to be deliberately trying to provoke Muslims into a bigger attack.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality. CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't even gotten to the real provocation by Israel yet. I suppose at some point, maybe just October 7th will be we'll do the anniversary rewind. See what's happened over the last, at this point, 10 months. Because it's one of those things that it's really hard to get your head around. The fact that it was just right off the bat, it was so brutal and horrific, the response from Israel, and it's almost laughable now that they, denied that they bombed a hospital early on, and now, every hospital in Gaza has been destroyed. And not just destroyed, but they've systematically gone through and handcuffed everybody in the hospital and took him out to the courtyard and shot him in the back of the head or ran him over with bulldozers. It's really insane that they even, denied bombing a hospital at one point. But of course, the attack was justified by the media with outrageous claims of what Hamas did on October 7th, basically all of which have proven not to be true. You have the Hannibal Directive showing that Israel itself was responsible for a huge number of the deaths on October 7th, firing into their own kibbutzes in order to kill the hostages and the hostage takers. You had stories about systematic rape gangs being deployed and rape being used as a weapon of war, predicated on a total absence of evidence and totally debunked at this point by the very media outlets that first promoted that story. You had the story of babies being thrown into ovens. Didn't actually happen. You have all of these horror stories from October 7th, none of which actually occurred, and none of which ever had any evidence to them. But in response to that, far, far more outrageous and actually having happened, things have occurred. Killing an innumerable number of children and women. The images that, of course, we've seen over the last 10 months burned into our psyches. The number of dismembered children on a daily basis. You didn't actually have any documented evidence whatsoever of rape gangs on October 7th. But, of course, now the Israeli society has basically agreed that rape is valid. They're using prisoners of war as human shields, specifically non-combatants that they're able to capture. They bombed refugee camps and hospitals and schools, and it just keeps going on and on. And we keep paying them billions upon billions of dollars for it. It's hard to read an article without learning about some new injection. Sometimes, too. I'm reading this article about U.S. greenlighting a $3.5 billion weapons package to Israel last week. And this week, we've approved another $20 billion. Isn't that something? And, of course, all of this started in the October 7th attack itself. It was called the Al-Aqsa Flood. It was predicated on the belief from Palestine. It had two purposes. One was to get hostages from Israel that could be used to negotiate an exchange of prisoners,
with thousands of Palestinians detained in IDF camps where they were tortured and imprisoned without trial or ability to defend themselves. And it was to preempt what was thought to be an Israeli attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, which is where the Third Temple will have to be built when the time has come to usher in the Antichrist. And so it's the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there were rumblings that Israel was about to make a major move to take that area over. It's like the second or third most holy site in Islam. And so basically there are all these like big marches and all these signals sort of flying that something was about to happen to where Israel was going to take over the Dome of the Rock, and they did this to sort of preempt that. That's why it's called the Al-Aqsa Flood. And now Ben-Gvir, the national security minister of Israel, is, of course, doing it again, provoking, again, the Muslims really around the world by leading a massive march storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque, accompanied by a protective force of Israeli police. Israeli ministers of Negev and Galilee Affairs Yitzhak Wasserlof and a large group of settlers also accompanied Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir and Wasserlof stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque from the Mahribi Gate and toured the eastern courtyard accompanied by a large number of occupation police officers, local sources told Palestinian news agency WAFA, adding that police restricted the entry of worshippers as the two Israeli ministers made their way into the holy site. This was Ben-Gvir's sixth incursion into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound since Benjamin Netanyahu's government came to power in 2022. His numerous incursions into the Holy Site have been highly provocative and have contributed to continuously escalating tensions in the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem over the past 2 years. We are on Tisha B'Av, the Temple Mount, coming to mark the destruction of the Temple. But it needs to be said with sincerity, there is very significant progress here in the governance, in the sovereignty. And as I've said, our policy is to enable prayer, Ben-Gvir said from inside the compound, which he stormed to commemorate the holiday of Tisha B'Av. And that what you're seeing here is many of them performing these rituals as an act of deliberate provocation. Which is what I mean. You know, it's like we got Iran and Hezbollah apparently still gearing up for war. You've got all of these just massacres and war crimes and crimes against humanity. And while America and Israel are saying, oh, we're just trying to calm things down, we just don't want things to escalate any further, while Israel is sending them $20 billion worth of weapons, and they are marching on Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to provoke outrage. So they're insane. I mean, they're just insane. There's not really much more to say about it. Like, they're just completely insane. And they run our country. That's the really scary part. $20 billion. You have any idea? You have any concept of how much money that is? Like, when you hear that we sent them $3.4 billion last week, that number alone, just mind-boggling. You could buy entire countries with $3.5 billion. And that's just a fraction of what we sent them this week. It's just incredible. It really is. It really is. Again, you can almost understand how something like this could happen like 100 years ago when wasn't a lot of media and you know, you just find out these stories later. Like, wow, did you hear what they did during war? That was crazy. The fact this has just happened continuously in front of everybody on live TV. And it was so horrifying in the first like month, and it just like didn't end. And now every week it's like worst day yet, deadliest day yet, new school massacre. It just goes on and on and on and on. And so obviously the plan here, as I see it, is to continually and deliberately provoke their neighbors of Hezbollah and Iran and Syria. Obviously, from the beginning, we've been saying, and it's been fairly well acknowledged by the Israeli government, that their goal in Gaza was to cleanse it of Palestinians and claim it as a territorial expansion. They had, you know, blueprints drawn up for the ski resort that they're going to build there. They've been incapable of doing significant damage to Hamas itself since they're all in tunnels and Israel's only tactic is air raids, which do not kill people in tunnels. And at this point, they are still, you know, having worked their way north to south, they're still under attack in the north where they failed to clear Hamas out. And the hope, of course, is that the Gaza conflict brings in the other players, brings in Iran, brings in Hezbollah, puts Israel at an existential position because they can't even handle Hamas in Gaza, right? I mean, how do you think they're going to fare against Hezbollah? How do you think they're going to fare against Iran? How do you think they're going to fare against Syria? It's not looking good, and they know that. But they know that America won't get involved unless they think they have to. And so they're deliberately trying to provoke a massive response from Iran or Hezbollah in order to justify getting America into the conflict. It's very much a game of, you know, who's going to start the fight, where the blame is going to be able to be placed. Which, of course, like, this would have been over in November if Israel didn't just continue its genocide campaign, but they are continuing it, and it goes on and on. And of course, it all depends on America being slavishly devoted and unquestioningly loyal to Israel and providing them everything they need, including up to and including the lives of our children being sent over there to die for their religious extremism, trying to build the third temple and usher in their Messiah. And so they are spending a lot of money to rig American elections, pouring millions and millions of dollars into tiny, seemingly insignificant congressional races, and basically buying the American electorate off in order to guarantee that whoever we elect will first and foremost serve their interests and not ours. This has been successful against Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush. And it's not like this is, like, I'm not even saying a conspiracy theory. I'm just relating to you exactly what everybody is saying. Like, everybody realizes this. This whole story is from USA Today, right? This isn't from the Young Turks. This is from some extremist, progressive, leftist outlet. I mean, it's USA Today, so, you know, they're still leftists, but they point out how these groups target Representative Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush for their public positions against Israel's government and actions in Gaza after spending at least $14.5 million and almost $9 million in their respective races. Both lost to more moderate challengers, and progressives have criticized the heavy role outside spending played in both Bowman and Bush's losses. With all the concern that we're supposed to feel about foreign election influence, when it comes from the boogeyman, the non-existent threat of Russia, it is pretty astounding that a foreign country can openly spend tens of millions of dollars on congressional districts in order to oust people that aren't amenable to their geopolitical reality. Heading into Tuesday's race, the Minnesota Democratic lawmaker boasted a significant fundraising advantage over Samuels. Omar's campaign spent $2.6 million on ads compared to Samuels' campaign, which spent just $32,000, according to Ad Impact. Which, really, it really is a condemnation of our entire system. It's a very simple matter. The more money they get spent, the more likely they are to win. And I'm sure they ran some sort of, you know, simulation with the population of Ilhan Omar's district and just realize, like, there's no way. There's no way. They are literally all Somalian Muslims. Literally all of them. So, what, are we going to spend $9 million and achieve nothing? So they really didn't try to oust Omar that much. I mean, they spoke badly about her. I'm sure they gave some money. But I think they realized that as is a losing battle, we'll just let Omar keep her seat. Inside the Zionist for Don Samuels WhatsApp group raising big money to oust Omar in AIPAC's absence, Samuels campaign staffer and pro-Israel super PAC donors strategized to oust another squad member. You're not going to find there's no love lost from us with the squad members. They're all socialist idiots, but at least American citizens voted for them. Some, I assume. So that's your Israel update. Just completely insane, warmongering, genocidal psychopaths being funded to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars with your money. So congratulations for that. It's just crazy. It's so crazy. Boy, oh boy. All right, let's move on to some local topics here, some domestic issues. Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. More exhausting nonsense. Let's jump in, shall we? Walz claps back at Vance's stolen valor attack. You should never denigrate another person's service record. No shame. There's no shame with these people. Let's go to clip 11 here. This expose into Tim Walz's stolen valor should be running everywhere. This was posted by Cernovich earlier, but I think it's an official Trump campaign video. But here's just a little taste of Stolen Watts's long, long career of pretending to be a soldier. Let's watch.
Tim Walz wants to be a heartbeat away from commander-in-chief, but Tim Walz has lied about his military record for years.
He's used the rank that he never achieved in order to advance his political career.
Walz lied repeatedly about his rank.
Retired command sergeant major.
Retired command sergeant major.
Command sergeant major.
Retired command sergeant major.
Walz lied about being in combat.
He can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war, that I carried in war.
Walz dodged deployment by retiring when he knew his National Guard unit was going to Iraq.
Everybody knew they were going to train and go to Iraq. The warning order basically stated it, and too much later after he knew it, that's when he retired.
Walz disparaged the Minnesota National Guard soldiers.
Mayor said, I request the National Guard. We're going to have massively trained troops. No, you're going to have 19-year-olds who are cooks.
That same Minnesota National Guard that he disparaged, unlike Walz, served heroically in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tim Walz is not fit to be anywhere near the office of Commander-in-Chief. Tim Walz is guilty of stolen valor.
He abandoned us. You know, I mean, what the hell kind of leader does that?
Remember, we live in upside-down, retarded clown world. So now, if you say that somebody didn't actually serve in war, isn't actually a combat veteran, insinuates, and in some cases outright states, that he did serve under arms when he didn't, well, clearly, that just means that you hate the troops. Obviously, you just hate the troops. I mean, I don't, you know. Okay. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz responded Tuesday to Ohio Senator J.D. Vance's allegations of stolen valor, with the Democrat vice president nominee saying, I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. Okay, but you lied about it. Denigrating the lie, the falsehood. The fact that you're not who you say you are. I guess this works on people because they keep doing it. I don't think they'd do it over and over if it didn't work so well, but clearly it does. Where they actually have the temerity to act like the aggrieved party if you point out their lies. Incredible. Let's go to that video. Here's Tim Walz, clip 15, responding to J.D. Vance's attacks. And what I take away from every video I see of Tim Walz, he's just a very off-putting man. Does anybody else get that? As you watch this, just, I don't even know how to describe it.
Then in 2005, I felt.
Yeah, well, let's go to it. Let's just watch and I don't know, you tell me if you get just sort of uncomfortable vibes from this guy and his face. Let's watch.
Then in 2005, I felt the call of duty again, this time being service to my country in the halls of Congress. My students inspired me to run for that office, and I was proud to make it to Washington. I was a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee and a champion of our men and women in uniform. I'm going to say it again as clearly as I can. I am damn proud of my service to this country. And I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. To anyone brave enough to put on that uniform for our great country, including my opponent, I just have a few simple words. Thank you for your service and sacrifice. But look.
Wow, he's so, he's so distinguished. He's so, respectable, isn't he? You know what? You might denigrate my service, but I'm not going to sink to that level. I say thank you for your service and your sacrifice. It's like, okay, but he actually served and actually sacrificed. So, like, what are you doing here? You didn't actually serve. You didn't actually sacrifice. So why are you acting like you're taking the high road? And why are you acting like somebody is denigrating your service when they're pointing out that you've lied about your service? If you're so proud of your service, you wouldn't misrepresent it year over year for decades on end. Vance, meanwhile, was deployed to Iraq for 6 months in 2005 while serving as a military journalist for the U.S. Marine Corps. And he responds, "Hi, Tim, thank you for your service, but you shouldn't have lied about it. You shouldn't have said you went to war when you didn't, nor should you have said that you didn't know your unit was going to Iraq. Happy to discuss this more in a debate." Yeah, that's the, yeah. What else are you going to say? What else is there to say? And again, all right. So Kamala Harris, this is one of the most amazing things, has still not published any policy. The only policy she's even really mentioned has been Trump's policy, the no tax on tips, which she herself started tax on tips by casting the tie-breaking vote to determine whether or not tips should be taxed, with 80,000 new IRS members, tracking down waitresses' earnings. So that's absurd on the face of it. But time and time again, she keeps attacking the 2025 project, which is not Trump's, and that he is voraciously, viraciously disavowed over and over again. We're in a situation where Kamala Harris has not published any policy, and instead of actually talking about what her policies are, she's attacking a set of policies that aren't Trump's. So, good to see an election that's finally about the issues, I guess. Got one candidate that has no policies whatsoever and doesn't stand anywhere on any issue, and she's spending her time attacking a set of policies that her opponent has repeatedly disavowed and aren't his, and he didn't write and doesn't co-sign. So, that's madness. That's pure madness, any way you look at it. That's where we are. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Bodies is back. The ultimate turmeric product on the market has returned to InfoWarsStore.com and is now 25% off for a limited time. Utilized for thousands of years, turmeric is one of the most studied medicinal herbs today. Hundreds of peer-reviewed scientific articles are published every year on the chemistry and therapeutic potential of turmeric and its active components. Bodies will reduce inflammation throughout the body, help boost and support flexibility, increase mobility, assist in joint function, bolster your immune system, and so much more. Regular turmeric from the store contains about 1 to 5% of the active ingredient curcuminoids, but our super powerful extract using Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. No other product can compare with this curcuminoid delivery system, so if you want to put the true power of turmeric to the test, then look no further. Grab yourself a bottle today for 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com and put your body at ease.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Talk about the UK and Ireland right now. There's a very lightning thing happening in Ireland right now. If you look at this situation on its own, by itself, it's very, very illuminating as to what's happening. Like, if you just woke up from a coma and I just showed you this situation, it would be unbelievable to you. But it is, in fact, reality. Do we have all these Ireland clips censored? Because we can start, 5 and 6 need to be censored. Maybe 1 as well, but... Or 1 and 12 are the same. Okay, so let's go to clip number 1 here. This is an Irish woman walking around an area of her town that I suppose is to become a immigrant plantation site when she's confronted by foreign men in ski masks who apparently are there to guard the site. Let's go to clip number 1 now.
Glasnevin, get off at Cooley Quay and just walk a mile down the Garris Town Road. See you all here for a peaceful protest. Good morning.
From where do you come here? Sorry.
I'm from Ireland.
No, from where coming here?
the road.
This way.
From the road, yes.
This way?
Yes.
Come, please.
It's okay. I can let myself out. It's all good. All good.
So you've got people in Dublin, I assume, orchestrating this invasion of Ireland. And it is a full-fledged invasion. They have said on record and by their own account that their plan is to bring more people into Ireland than currently live there now. Population's about 4.5, 5 million people in Ireland. And they're bringing in 5 million immigrants. 100% full-scale replacement migration. That is their published goal. To uphold the pension system, of course. You've got people in the capital city orchestrating this, sending busloads and busloads and busloads of dudes from all over Africa. Asylum seekers, totally ridiculous, totally illegal, totally do not qualify whatsoever for any form of asylum. Buying up properties with, of course, the infinite money from either their central bank or the EU or NGOs that are paid with tax dollars. They buy up sites. They send busloads of foreign men there. The locals want to go see what's being built in their neighborhood, and they're confronted by masked thugs who don't even speak the language, demanding to know who the local is and where they're from, to intimidate them out of stopping this. Honestly, it's like chilling. Like, chills run down your spine when there's just this Irish lady like, oh, here's where they're setting up the immigrant site here. They're going to bring them all here. And there's just a giant, you know, like, buff dude in a ski mask just going, where are you from? Where from you? Where you come from? Out. Get out. It's just an invasion. It's just a take. It's just a straight-up takeover at this point. And the people in Ireland, as she just mentioned, she's like, we'll be here for a peaceful protest. They are trying to peacefully prevent this from happening. And they're being attacked by either foreigners of this foreign militia that's been brought in by their elite. And that's what's happening. The elite are importing a foreign military force to use against their own people. And in Ireland, in this town of Dundrum, Tipperary, the local population of this town is 200 people. They're bringing in 280 asylum seekers. The local people don't want the asylum seekers there, do not want to be ground zero for their own replacement by African men. Have been protesting this for months on end and are now being attacked and confronted by the Irish police who are clearing the way for the foreign invasion. We'll go first to clip number 6 here. This is Dundrum, Tipperary.
So, Dundrum have received our first 2 busloads from God knows where. Mainly women and children, but they've done that in Roscrea and Racket Hall and all the other places. They're peaceful protests. They don't give a shit about the peaceful. They forced them in anyway against the community's wishes. And there was a couple of old men manhandled and arrested. An absolute disgrace is what this country's after turning into. And as you can see, we've got the public order unit and guards everywhere. There was more guards here than people. Another sad day in the Irish history books, unfortunately. Another sad, sad day in the Irish history books. So as I said, look, they managed to force the first 2 buses in against the community's wishes. They've tried everything peacefully, and these corrupt just don't care.
Your democracy at work, right? Our democracy at work. A town of 200 people desperately attempting to prevent the settlement of 280 foreigners on their land and being attacked and arrested by the federal police for trying to just peacefully prevent this from happening. And we've got video of the conflict taking place here. Clip number five. Again, this is Dundrum, Tipperary. 280 asylum seekers to be housed in a hotel, replacing the local population of 200 people overnight. A veritable army of police officers to escort the foreign invaders and to prevent the locals from having a say as to who lives in their town.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So there's such a thing as not following orders, man. There is that, you know. Ireland's finest. Well, at least you wear the numbers anyway, unlike the other boys. I'll give you that.
Absolute traitors.
What's going on, yeah?
The government deploying their jackbooted thugs to clear out the locals to bring in the Africans. Setting up inevitable conflicts in the future, bringing in their foreign militia, who they'll all provide jobs to, provide security jobs. The migrants will likely be armed by the government and hired as police officers.
Only one or two guardies.
To be fully empowered to abuse the Irish people under the cloak of legitimacy. Look at all these police. They are sending out an army to clear out their own people, to build colonies, foreign colonies on their own land. They say tensions ran high in West Tipperary this morning as Gardaí sought to escort approximately 80 asylum seekers past a blockade formed by several dozen people. Locals in the area have manned the protests outside Dundrum House Hotel every day since late May. The hotel has not been in commercial use for several years and has been chosen for the housing of refugees. One man was removed from the scene this morning and treated for minor injuries after scuffles between the protesters and Garda. The local said they would regroup and hold a meeting later to discuss the next steps for their campaign to prevent the housing of asylum seekers at the hotel. So they have been, this town of 200 people has been holding vigil and trying to defend this hotel from being used as a foreign colony. In the last like 7 months, to be cleared out by the police. Foreigners are forced into their backyards.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys for our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Blessed is the man that had not taught in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the pestilence.
Folks, we need to talk about what happened in the UK. I'm actually going to show you a really awesome, empowering video in just a second and compare it with another one of my favorite videos ever for what you can learn from it. I'll explain it all. But this, these two headlines tell you everything you need to know about the way the UK riots are being manipulated. When a Rwandan savagely kills three white kids in England, Merseyside police say, we can confirm that a 17-year-old boy from Banks has been charged with the murders of BB King, Elsie Scott, and Stan, blah, 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 you know, the names. Whereas when a white kid in England protests against the Rwandan killing white kids, the police say, quote, a 15-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of violent disorder following a demonstration that took place on Saturday. It's a little bit different. If you're a Rwandan and you stab a dozen girls and kill three of them, you're a 17-year-old boy. If you protest that, you are a 15-year-old man. Just a nice little example. More headlines, more arrests taking place. Sutton Man 61, who chanted, who the F is Allah, has been jailed. Jailed for chanting, jailed for blasphemy in the Islamic Republic of Britain. A 61-year-old man made threatening gestures at police and chanted, who the F is Allah, during a large-scale disorder at Whitehall, has been jailed for 18 months. He gesticulated and yelled. Prison for 18 months. An African migrant killed a child with a machete and got 6 months. Yelling and gesticulating, 18 months. Didn't hurt anybody. Didn't attack anybody. He made threatening gestures. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy law. He said, who the F is Allah? And the British government sent him to jail for 18 months. He didn't say who the F is Allah in while he was attacking somebody, it's not man who yelled who the F is Allah jailed for hitting somebody with a baseball bat, jailed for attacking police. No, he's been jailed for chanting who the F is Allah. Just 18 months. And they're really just ramping up. They're just getting started. Specialist UK police teams target hate on social media. UK authorities and the media either willingly or feeling or are either willing to or they're feeling pressure to take their cues from the government continue to assert that the root cause of the serious rioting that hit the country this month is to be found on social media. This in turn makes a convenient excuse to ramp up political surveillance, police surveillance of online content. Special police teams are now going through social sites in order to identify those said to have incited the riots. And there's a special name for them, quote, hate influencers. Hate influencers. Very simple. You categorize opposition as hate. You crack down on hate. It really is that simple. The said teams consist of what reports refer to as specialized officers who's investigating serious crimes, i.e. murder and the like, and terrorism, as well as local units whose job is normally to investigate organized crime. Other national-level teams are also mentioned taking part in scouring the internet, and what they might be doing is suggested by the goal of this exercise being gaining a clear intelligence picture, as one article put it, citing the National Police Chief Council. They said these riots did not mobilize spontaneously. Yes, they did. No, they mobilized spontaneously as the result of the murders that took place. That was the tipping point. They're really mobilized by the decades of unpunished Islamic crime in the country. This one just sent them over the edge. What they say is that it was actually the result of dozens of so-called influencers exploiting and outpouring of grief from the tragic loss of three young girls in Southport. Referring to the knife attack that resulted in the three murderers. Talking about the, quote, hate influencers, quote, they knowingly spread misinformation, stoked the flames of hatred and division, and incited violence from the comfort of their own homes, causing chaos on other people's doorsteps. Online crimes have real-world consequences, and you will be dealt with the same way as those physically present and inflicting the violence. So they let in the criminals, they let in the murderers, and if you complain about it, you're going to go to jail. It's as simple as that. They import the people violently abusing you and your family. And if you do anything other than silently accept this, then you're a criminal. It doesn't matter if you actually go out and do anything, actually protest. Merely being aware of the crime is a crime at this point. And InfoWars has a great story by Ben Warren on this. Britain is proof globalists plan to use migrants as a mercenary arm against the West. And they literally already are. That is exactly what they're doing. Why do Western officials insist on gaslighting the public on illegal border crossings? Why do they attempt to destroy anyone that publicly opposes mass immigration from the third world? The laws on the books support the public majority position on immigration. Come here legally or don't come here at all. And what a good point. They are criminalizing advocating for the laws that are on the books. That's how insane this is. That they're calling it hate to point to the law code and say this isn't supposed to be happening. This is against the law. That is hate. You'll be thrown in jail for it. They say the goal is to import people with an incompatible or hostile ideology, and eventually the target culture will break down and be forced to accept a new system of governance, i.e. free markets and liberty to communism and slavery. If Western populations are unified in opposing the globalist ideology, then the task of deconstruction becomes impossible for them. So they simply destroy the West from within by introducing millions of people that will never assimilate or unify. And that is the point, right? And again, this, you got to read this article. Britain is proof. Globalists plan to use migrants as a mercenary army against the West. But I want to play a video here that actually gave me hope, that actually inspired me, that actually made me think that that spark of liberty still exists in Britain. This is a pub owner forcing Keir Starmer out of his establishment. A true expression, a powerful expression of what still exists of British liberty. Let's go to clip 18.
That man is not allowed in my pub. Get out of my pub. Go on. Get out of my pub.
And here comes Keir Starmer, Prime Minister, humiliated and ejected by a local pub owner. God bless that man for standing up for his God-given rights. This is the heart and soul of British liberty, what became American liberty. The Constitution is an outgrowth of British common law, something laid down as early as the 1200s, 1215, with the Magna Carta, that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the Prime Minister. It doesn't matter if you think or pretend to have the authority to go wherever you want and do whatever you want. You don't outrank the pub owner. You don't have a right to demand that the pub owner serve your whim. On the other side, I'll play the video to compare to this. A little compare and contrast. But that video I thought was amazing. So he kicks out Keir Starmer. Maybe soon that will be called hate. Maybe soon that man will be considered hateful for daring to oppose Keir Starmer. He's the Prime Minister, after all. You're not allowed to disagree with him. Maybe one day, maybe that guy's already been sent to prison. You know, who knows? In the UK, could very well be the case. What we're losing in the UK, what they're losing, what we're losing in America, didn't start with the American Constitution. We are losing 1,000 years of advancement and liberty with what's going on in the UK right now. I'll show you how it ends up on the other side.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings of vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with 5 other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. Third hour is on. Support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I'll be joined by my guest, Sharika Soul, in just a moment. But I wanted to go to... Oh, that was awesome. I hadn't seen that title sequence before. Support us, folks. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to keep this crew churning out the incredible art they create. I want to go to a video now that we played before, and we'll start about 45 seconds in. This is a Chinese professor working for the Chinese government telling a story about his experience in America. I wanted to play this in comparison to the video that you just saw of a lowly British pub owner demanding that his prime minister get the hell out, as is his God-given right to do as the king of his own castle. Here's what it looks like when you lose that right. Let's watch. He says, so here's my story. It was, because we're on live streaming, millions of people are watching, I can't give full details. I can't turn them in. It was in 2015. Before the second last time President Xi visited the U.S., everybody in the system needed to warm things up for him. The way one organization in the party did the warm-up was to gain some publicity. The book, Xi Jinping, The Governance of China, we will launch the first English edition in the U.S. by having a press conference before his arrival to build him some momentum. Who will do this job? Just like today, they thought, I'm very good at fooling the aliens. That's how Chinese people talk about Westerners, by the way. He's like, they know I'm good at fooling the idiots, so they sent me, because they see how I conned them, which they thought was very effective, so I would be the host and part of the panel. It was just like we're doing today, I being the host and speaker. The high officials picked the venue, told us to go to Politics and Prose, 3:30 p.m. next Thursday. It's on Connecticut Avenue in Washington. Number 2650, I think. We'll publish the new book there. So we went there to make the booking. Things are run very differently in China and the U.S. With such short notice, it was very difficult to book the place. The owner said arrogantly, sorry, can't do it. Wow, how arrogant of him. So I asked him, which author booked the place for that time frame? For what? There's nothing money can't buy. If one bundle of cash can't, I'll throw in another. Of course, that's only my style of working. Still, the owner said arrogantly, sorry, but I won't tell you which author. He wants to bribe the author to get the time frame. We have principles. He was very arrogant, very pretentious. Later, I learned he was a Democrat. Although a Democrat, he used to be a journalist in Asia, and he had some opinions on our party, which is why he refused to play through. I thought it was over. We got to find another venue or time. So we escalated to the high officials. I was just helping out anyway. So anyway, they eventually get in contact with somebody in the U.S. government who basically leans on the guy and forces him to make his place available, which is a betrayal. Because this is the point of America. It doesn't matter if you're the president of China. It doesn't matter if you're the Queen of England. It doesn't matter if you're the Archbishop of Timbuktu. You don't outrank an American. An American is under no obligation to provide their establishment or their work or their complicity in what you want to do. And if an American citizen wants to say, screw the Communist Party, you don't get to use my venue to spread your propaganda, then that's his unalienable right. And you have to deal with that. They consider that arrogant. So arrogant to deny us. And maybe it is a little bit arrogant, but it's an arrogance we've earned. Because we've set up a system where the average person gets to kick out the prime minister. It gets to refuse the president of China. And is the king of his own castle. That is the liberty of the West. That's what we're losing, and we're losing it to scumbags like that. The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal, InfoWars.com. InfoWarsStore.com is how you support us. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to welcome my guest, Sharika Soule. She's a podcast host and a writer for the Gateway Pundit. She's the host of the Divested Diary podcast, the podcast that discusses politics, relationships, and black culture openly and honestly without the burden of political correctness. You can find the website divesteddiary.com or follow Sharika at SharikaSoule84 on X. Sharika, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Harrison. I love being here.
Well, thank you. We love having you. Very good to talk to you. Tell us about your podcast. What is the name of it mean, Divested Diary? Why'd you name your podcast that? What's that mean to you?
Divestment is essentially a process in which Black Americans, specifically Black women, wake up to how their role, which is usually controlled by the Democrat Party, is to essentially dedicate their lives to hating white people, feeling oppressed, and essentially not having any hope outside of fighting the white man, a simulation of defeat the white man, if you will. I think that that puts Black women in a place where we are a symbol of white hate, and it's not ideal for us to have a quality of life if we're spending our lives screaming about how much we hate white people, et cetera, et cetera. So divestment for me is about a Black woman realizing that there is more to life than being an operation for the Democrat Party by fighting the cops and essentially hating white people, that we can do more, we can be more. And we also need to start taking serious accountability for the violence in the Black community.
Mm. And so divesting is rejecting that mindset and embracing a healthier one, because it's really a self-sabotaging mindset, isn't it? I mean, it's convincing people to put themselves in a position where they'll never be good enough. So they'll always have to compare themselves to somebody else. They're always, you know, in this state of sort of jealousy and envy, and, you know, your life is bad because, you know, these other people exist out there. It's putting the Black community in America in a state of arrested development, right? I mean, it's bad for them, right? It's not even like you should stop doing this because stop being mean to white people. It's like, no, you're holding yourself back with this mindset. Do I have that right?
Exactly. I think that, as I said, you know, Black women have become a symbol of white hate. It's including Black men. We've become a symbol that is violence and resentment and not really wanting to get along. And I think divesting from the mindset that we are a victim just because white people exist is very crucial to our quality of life. Mm-hmm. We are outnumbered in America, and to go around having so much vitriol and hate towards a group of people that adopt our children when we're not able to care for them is ridiculous. And it's time for us to divest to better mindset and stop regressing as if this is 1942.
Right. Just how are you ever going to, you know, set things right in your own community if you can blame every problem on some outside force you can't control? That's what always comes to my mind when you hear these really, I mean, horrifying statistics. At least they're horrifying to me. things like 75% of black births are outside of wedlock. I mean, that's crazy that only one in four black children is born with their parents married and in a stable relationship. That's a recipe for disaster. And that's not something that's been inflicted. I mean, there's been, you know, Planned Parenthood had a part to play in this. Welfare had a very large part to play in this. There have been incentives that have kept black people sort of in this, feedback loop. But it's not going to be solved by an outside force. It has to be solved by an inside force, right? I mean, what do you see as the biggest issues facing the black community right now? And how is this mindset of hatred, you know, holding them back and stopping them from solving these problems?
The black community has never built a viable nation that protects the women and children. We have always relied on other races to survive. The number one thing that black people need to do right now is to take accountability, because right now we are creating a new justified racism against us. When we are a symbol of hate towards other races, when we are allowed to kill other races without any repercussions, we are creating an environment to which there will be justified hate against us. So accountability for our actions, like the crime rate, child abuse, and, you know, generally traumatizing other people with our violence, such as we try to hold white people accountable for their actions. We need to be held accountable. We need to take accountability. And that's the only step forward.
And you know what? If there's one thing white people are really good at, it's taking accountability. And it's just one of the things that I've noticed, like, the black community can be sort of psyoped into like coming out and supporting and making into a savior, the Messiah, you know, somebody like George Floyd, who is despicable. He's a total criminal. And, you know, maybe he didn't deserve to be, you know, killed on the street. Nobody deserves to, you know, be executed by the police. We can all agree on that. But you're going to make this guy the symbol of your community? It's like, you can never see the white people do. White people wouldn't do that. We disavow our criminals and, distance ourselves from them. But the black community is constantly, you know, it's like there are people out there that you can celebrate and uphold and go, look, I mean, look at Ben Carson, right? He's this like groundbreaking neurosurgeon. Where are the statues to him? No statues to Ben Carson, infinite statues of George Floyd. I mean, how do people not see that this is an attack on the black community? They actually think they're like supporting the black community by supporting this obsession with and acceptance of criminality. It's sick.
It is sick. And the low expectations. That's what I say about Kamala Harris. She uses abortion to pander for black votes. Abortion is something that is, you know, unaliving many black Americans in the country. It is a huge source of why we are not equal when it comes to numbers. It is hard to be equal to white people in numbers when we are essentially slaughtering our entire race every year via abortion. And Kamala uses abortion to pander to black votes. So there's a lot of accountability we need to do, and we need to start thinking critically about some of our actions and how that is shaping the narrative around us. We cannot continuously get angry at people for what they see. They see the violence. They see the lack of critical thinking when it comes to how we should vote. And they see our unwillingness to take accountability for our actions and our equal contributions to crime in America.
Yeah, it really is. And it's difficult to have these conversations. I mean, how did you get into having these conversations, and what was it like for you starting to believe these things and talk about these things? I can't imagine it's been easy, because you're really trying to shine a light on the black community and say, hey, there's stuff we got to fix up. You can't just blame white people. That's not a very popular sentiment, in the mainstream media. You know, so how did you start talking about this, and what's been your experience talking about this?
Well, I've always kind of had this idea that the race conversations were not rooted in reality. I'm an adoptee, so that means the black men and the black women in my family were not protecting the children. They were not good people. They did not do what needs to be done to ensure that the black unit stay together. So I find it very laughable when I see black men and black women screaming about white people while simultaneously handing their children over to the white population to raise. Right. I've never been able to take that seriously. So for me, having the conversation, I've always had a very rational starting point. if we're going to talk about how white people treat us, we need to be talking about how we treat us, how we treat our children. You know, no one's ever going to take a black man seriously who has a white person having his children, you know, raising his children. And then you're asking that white family to also pay you reparations while they're raising your children. So I kind of always just, you know, been very bold with it because I am adopted. It did. Black violence has affected me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's there's a strange sort of concept in, at least in the media and in the wider consciousness, that like if you do anything other than pander to black people, it's because you hate them and want to destroy them. And it's literally the exact opposite. If you look at history and you look at the success that black Americans have had and the failures that they've had, to me, it's pretty clear. It's like for the 100 years after slavery, it was like a rocket ship. Like by the 1960s, they were, you know, better than white Americans statistically in like income and family staying together and birth rates and like everything. They were doing amazingly well considered where they were a century before. And then comes the welfare programs, and then come these things that are ostensibly, supposedly meant to help the community. And yet it's at that point that you start seeing it sort of degrade, and you start having the out of wedlock births, and you start having the communities come apart. And so it's like, all right, this thing that supposedly was supposed to help the black community has in fact contributed to destroying it. So how are you still supporting this? How do you think just, you know, throwing more money at the problem is going to solve it? And you think I'm evil for opposing that? It's all very backwards, isn't it? I mean, this is what it's like to love the black community, is to actually want them to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and, you know, not rely on welfare handouts or any of the other things that are the only thing that are ever offered in terms of helping out the black community, or handouts and giveaways and reparations. That doesn't help anybody, does it?
No, it really doesn't. And again, we're at a time where accountability is very crucial. As I said, black skin over time is becoming a symbol of white hate. That is not going to bring us a high quality of life in America, where it is predominantly white. We have completely regressed into where we should be going. We should be progressing. And when people are wanting us to do better, they're called racist. So it's very hard to have conversations about black violence in schools, domestic violence against black women, when those conversations are guided or guarded, I should say, by accusations of racism. Mm-hmm. And I feel that that is very low IQ. I feel it's doing us a huge disservice. And as I said, we can't keep getting frustrated when people are commenting on what they see. They see us being aggressive. They see us not taking accountability, killing other races, killing white children, and still wanting to be the victim in society. It just needs to end.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I don't know, for me, I grew up in Houston. I was always like a minority in all the schools I went to. I definitely see, sort of across the political spectrum, but like a real reticence to just like speak honestly about this stuff. And I guess you can call it, you know, the low expectations, soft bigotry of low expectations. You know, there are these terms for it, but it's a very real thing that liberals, there is some sort of like innate, like, oh, these poor black, we can't hold them up to the same standard as us white people. They're just black, so we have to take care of them. And like, I don't see how more people don't recognize this and are sort of turned off by it. It seems obvious to me. If I was a black person, I would feel very disrespected that, you know, white liberals think they have to coddle me and care for me and that I couldn't achieve anything myself. It's like, I want black people to be strong. I want them to not have to rely on anybody. But I'm considered the hateful one. How backwards is this? Is there a way to talk about this that can like break through these mindsets that people don't even know they have?
I like to point out, you know, something that I see black liberals do is when I talk about black pedophilia, black violence, they'll say, well, the white man does that too. And my response is always, well, the white man also built the judicial system. They created a program to address the pedophiles and the violent people in the community. And the black Americans, we have done nothing of the sort. So it is time to have that conversation. And I know that can be confrontational, but to have these conversations, I think people need to stop fearing, specifically the white population. Mm-hmm. Stop fearing that when you have a valid criticism that has to do with your safety, protecting your home, valid criticism for other races, stop fearing that you're going to be called racist. Because at the end of the day, it's just a mean word. What right. The real problem is that we are contributing to a portion of the crime rate in America, causing chaos, adding to the depression, the anxiety, and the trauma that other Americans are going through. And there's no getting through that without extremely direct honesty. Black Americans are dangerous, they are violent, and we need to take accountability to better America.
Yeah, and the statistics prove that. I mean, everybody knows that. This is kind of the absurd thing about this, right, is it's not like you're going to go into a black community and go, man, there's a lot of violence here. And people are going to go, really? I had no idea. I mean, everybody, you know, everybody knows that, you know, statistically, it's like 13% of the population. But actually, it's a much smaller amount because it's mostly young black men, which is like, you know, half of the 13%. So you've got this, you know, tiny population that's committing 50% of the crime in the United States. That's a problem that we should be able to talk about. And if you can't talk about it, how are you ever going to solve it? And if you can't ever solve it, then how are you ever going to have equality between these two populations? Again, this all seems obvious to me, but it seems like we're hamstrung by these names that we're called. It's incredibly frustrating. And again, I'll often say, you know, I'm like, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what color or creed, like, if you're American, I'm American, we're on the same team. And I get accused by people going, you don't have to pander to people. You don't have to qualify your statement. It's like, I'm just telling the truth. It's just how it is. We can stop the division, and it's not hateful to talk about these issues. And yet they want to make it seem hateful. I think nationalism cures these problems. I think when we can recognize that we're American first and foremost, everything else, we can still be different. We can be, even be at odds in some cases, but it's us against the world, and it's you and me versus every other country and every foreigner that's not on our team. Is that not a simple concept to you know, understand and to agree with? And is American nationalism not a cure to a lot of these problems?
I think it is the cure, but I think that one thing well-meaning white people misunderstand is that there is a sector of the black community that does not want peace. They want to conquer and control and essentially make white people suffer. Sane black people are not sitting online demanding that 17-year-old white kids apologize for tweets. Okay. They're not sitting online demanding that white people bend over and treat us like gods. We are going about our day, living our lives, you know? And so one thing that I think has to be recognized, which goes back to, I feel other races need to stop feeling like they can't talk about these issues without fear of backlash. And that goes to us being honest. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought a little bit. But basically, what I'm saying is we need to take accountability, and people need to not be afraid to call us out. It's not helping us get along with people. It's making people resent us at the end of the day.
Totally. Totally. No, I get exactly what you're saying. And you're absolutely right. And the problem is that because there are white people that don't want peace either, but they don't have the backing of the institutions. They don't have the backing of the media. It's the radicals on the left, and, you know, the black radicals, what, you know, the divisive people, the people that hate white people. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the ones that get support. They get, you know, they can get away with anything. They get whatever they want. They can hold riots and the police kneel to them. So it's like it's a systemic thing, and it's obviously by design and on purpose. They don't want the black people like yourself or like others that we have on the show regularly who are pointing out what you're pointing out, that like, hey, there's problems in the black community and it's up to us to fix it, and it's not white people's fault, and dominating white people is not a positive or peaceful way into the future. You guys get shut down at every pass. And again, I just wonder how people don't see this for what it is, how you have this population that's so distrustful of the establishment, rightfully so, right? I totally get why black people would be suspicious of the American government. That's not a shock to me. And yet they don't see that all of these institutions that they don't trust are pretending to be on their side and supporting these movements. I mean, again, how do we wake people up to realize that this is not empowering anybody?
The truth will set us free. I really believe that as long as we stop worrying about hurting people's feelings, I think it's just the truth. There's nothing wrong with talking about the violence in the Black community. I am so nauseated from every day being told white people this, white people do this, white people do this. Like, I'm 40 years old now. So I've been listening to this for a long time. I'm ready for a new conversation. I'm ready just to discuss what's happening with the Black community. I'm ready to discuss why so many are holding on to a very obvious lie that if we side with conservatives, we will end up slaves or be killed. This is a very obvious lie, has been told to us since Obama. Okay. Obama has gone and come. You know what I'm trying to say in that sense. We have new presidents. I'm still standing. Okay. Yeah. And so it's just time for us to move on, and we can't move on unless we're given a comfortable space. I have been very much supported by the conservative side. And without that support, I don't know that I would have had the courage to continue trying to talk about divestment and why it's better for Black people to let go of ghetto culture and things like that. It was the support of the white community and conservative community that made me feel that I was doing the right thing. And I think if we continue to encourage these conversations, more Black people will come out. The good ones are shy, okay? They're not online like the crazy liberals screaming about how much they hate white women.
Right. No, exactly. No, the typical Black person is just doing their job, hanging out with their family. Like, yeah, there can be a misapprehension with the scale and intensity of some of the online activism that can really get insane. But again, it's because they have the support of they're not going to get banned for saying the most outrageous stuff, because that's not the way the censorship program is set up. One thing I don't understand about it is, like, you got these videos, we've been playing some of them on screen, where it's like white people like kissing the shoes of Black people. And I just think, like, how are you even okay with that? I try to imagine myself, like, an Asian person coming up and be like, a white person, let me kiss your feet. I'd be like, get up, dude. Like, what are you talking? I don't want that. That's weird. So there's this spiritual sort of sickness that's like, yes, grovel for me, but beg for mercy. It's like, it really is kind of evil at the heart of it, in a Christian sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that white guilt is the door to Black genocide. When white people are feeling guilty about racism, whatever, it just creates an environment within the Black community that makes predators, murderers, gangbangers, people that actually cause harm to other Americans feel very comfortable, because they know the police show up, you guys are racist. And there's going to be a bunch of people online who will fight the good fight, quote unquote, start a change.org petition to try to get this individual freed from this heinous crime that they've committed. So white guilt is what is actively holding us back. And I also want to say that fighting racism is not going to fix inflation. It's just not. It's not going to ever fix the problems that we have.
Right.
The only thing that's going to fix us is being honest with each other at this time.
I love it, because it's like, it's the type of statement that you shouldn't have to make it, right? It's like, I don't know. eating fish isn't going to cure your cancer. It's like, yes, obviously, no. Yeah, focusing on racism isn't going to solve any of the actual problems that we're dealing with. It only makes things worse. I'd love to have you hang around for at least one more segment, because I want to talk about sort of the way that the Trump campaign is dealing with race. And there's always an issue of, we're going to get the Black vote this time, and whether that ever comes to fruition. I want to get into sort of the political atmosphere around the presidential campaign on the other side with Sharika Soul, my guest. You can find her website, divesteddiary.com, where she does the Divested Diary podcast. Sharika Soul 84 on X. We'll be right back on the other side. Stay with us.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country, of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated
turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man. But I'm not just a man. Just like you. No matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. And that's why the system hates you and fears you, and that's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight. And I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer. But I can't fight this fight without you. And that's why I want you always to remember that I appreciate you and I thank you, because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's the thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is American Journal. I am your host, Harrison Smith. We are here fighting back against the insanity, against the tyranny that is slowly but surely being locked around all of our necks, and the insanity that keeps us from fighting back against it. Joining me on this mission is Sharika Soul. She is the host of the Divested Diary podcast. You can go to divesteddiary.com or follow her on X at SharikaSoul84. Talking about sort of the racial topics in America and what we can do to, you know, to break out, like I said, of the madness that's keeping us locked in this continual loop of blame and hatred and my tax dollars being stolen and given to people who despise me. I don't like it, Sharika. What is your take? I want to play a video. I just happened to come across it today, and it's sort of perfect. I'd love to get your take on it. It's a woman explaining why she thinks black people should vote for Trump, and we're seeing some movement in that direction, more so than maybe any other Republican in my lifetime. What do you think is going to be the outcome this election with black people and Trump? Are they going to vote for him? Have they been tricked into thinking Kamala represents them, which is absurd? But I mean, do you have any insight into this presidential campaign and how the black vote and the black identity is going to play into the contest?
Well, I exist on the black side of TikTok where black women are divested and they openly talk about politics, et cetera, without the liberal, you know, side effects. I see a lot of black women are feeling that Kamala Harris is disingenuous. Right. The over-the-top ghetto pandering, the ghetto performance, the disingenuous reaching out of care, et cetera. It's really turning a lot of black people off. Black men in general have not forgotten that as Attorney General of California, Kamala Harris, was locking up black people who had sick children. Mm. She did lock up a black individual who had a terminally ill child and had that individual locked up for truancy. You would think that when a child is terminally sick, there's a little bit more understanding there. So there's a lot of black people who have not forgotten, specifically black women and black men, what she has done and how her time in office has actually affected them. I do think that there's going to be a bigger, more profound support coming from Black America for Trump this year than anybody is prepared to see. It's overwhelming because even I'm like, wow, we're finally doing it. But I do think that Kamala is the catalyst to Black people finally saying, hey, look, man, you can't keep telling us the KKK is going to show up and that we need to vote for this person.
Right.
And everything is going to be fine. It's just gotten really ridiculous.
Yeah, it has. And again, I see it as disrespect. It's like you don't lie to somebody you respect, right? You don't try to trick or manipulate somebody that you actually have respect for. It's seems very disrespectful to me, but I'm not black, so what do I know? I want to go to this video here. It's about a minute, 30 seconds. I think she makes some great points. I'd just love to get your take on this on the other side. And again, I'm just wondering whether this is an outlier, as it seems to be statistically, or whether this is a concept or a mindset that's permeating, you know, deeper into, you know, the consciousness of our fellow Americans and the black variety. Let's go now to clip number 19. Here's a lady explaining why she and why all black people should vote for Donald Trump.
I ain't never heard of him being racist prior to running for president. That's just me, though. I mean, because any two ways you look at it, the man won his presidency without the black vote. What he need it for? What he need us for? Tell me what he need me for. He don't need me. But for some reason, he always get up on that stage talking about how low black unemployment is. Because he legitimately cares. You never heard Obama get on stage talking about black unemployment. He couldn't, because under his first 2 years with a Democratic Congress, it doubled. Black unemployment under Barack Obama doubled. How many of y'all know that? It doubled. It literally doubled. It went from 8% to 16%. How you get around that and no media say nothing about that? But Donald Trump getting it to the lowest it's ever been recorded. Like I said, he don't need us. He does not need the black vote. The black vote didn't put him in office. The black vote ain't going to take him out of office. But the fact that he gets up there on them stages every chance he get and tells us how we are doing, because we, I ain't going to say that. We too crazy to realize it ourselves. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got to do that. He ain't got to get out there. When he was running for president, he didn't have to get out there talking about, what do you have to lose? Vote for me. He didn't have to do that.
I just love that video. I just thought that was great. It just happened to come across it today, and thought I'd get your take on it. I mean, she's exactly right. I mean, what is there to say about that? She's right, isn't she?
Oh, she's definitely right. Most of Trump's support that is significant that pushed him to win the presidency was not black support. His very first go around, he was obviously not as supported as he is now by the black population. And so that was also one of my takeaways, that this man could really, if he wanted to, have nothing to do with us and not care about our problems. And he would have a very strong base. You know, he would still have his fans. The fact that he chooses to take his time when he is standing in front of millions of people to talk about the Black community and that he cares about our well-being and our success in this world. To me, that's somebody that actually does like us. That can never be a racist. You know, I'm from Iowa. Real racists do not invite ghetto Black people into their homes. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying.
I get what you said. Yeah. I mean, it's just the idea that. But I guess this is the point, right? Is that it's so absurd, so ridiculous, this idea that Trump is a racist. I mean, he's been known in public life for 40 years. This was never an issue until he became president. And it's so absurd. It should be so obvious. But I guess this is the psychological lever that you can pull. I mean, people feel very strongly about this. And there's something about it that if you call somebody racist, a lot of Black people in America are going to just, better safe than sorry, that guy's a racist, right? Not going to give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. I mean, it really is that powerful. So what do you think, if you were like an advisor to Trump, do you think, would you tell him, you know, hammer this issue, like keep talking about Black jobs, or would you say, look, Black people aren't going to vote for you, just, you know, try to grow your base of white middle class? Like, what would your advice be for Trump? Because this is a big issue right now. People are sort of split on this. But that, you know, that video, I see videos like that, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is, it's working. Slowly but surely, the message is getting across. How would you advise Trump in terms of like getting the Black vote or not, you know, in the next election?
I would tell Trump to stick to what's been loyal to him. Mm-hmm. You know, Black people take loyalty very seriously. And I know Trump does. And I know that in the conservative space, loyalty matters as well. I would tell Trump to stick to who's been loyal to him and to go with that and not focus so much on getting Black women or Black men to vote for you, but keep focusing on the true message. All Black people understand we like money, okay? We don't like to not be able to pay our electricity bill. So if he keeps talking about things that have no discrimination, things we all go through, he will continue to win us over. To directly pander to us can sometimes be off-putting to Black people like me because I do not relate to rappers. I do right. not relate to those type of Black people. So sometimes that can be alienating to Black people like me. But when he talks about inflation and are we better off now than we were when he was president, those are the type of things that Black women, Black parents specifically, we hear you and we'll jump on board. And I think that's why he's seeing such a huge turnaround now on social media with people coming out and saying, you know what, I'm Black and I support this, because he's making sense.
You know, we're seeing it a lot, and I just hope it bears out statistically. I completely agree. Tell you what, stay with us. We'll close out the show with Sharika Soul, divesteddiary.com, at Sharika Soul 84 on X. We'll finish out talking about the presidential campaign and some other wider political topics here. Stay with us. It's the American Journal, Infowars.com. Infowarsstore.com is where you go to support us. We'll be right back.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taken place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around. This stuff's about to get really, really nasty. Infowars.com.
The Infowars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the Infowars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfowarsStore.com. But What some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with five other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products and for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
You're listening to The American Journal. Watch it live right now at band.video.
To Sharika Soul. She's the host of the Divested Diary podcast, divesteddiary.com, on X at Sharika Soul 84. That's S-A-S-O-A-L. So S-H-A-R-I-K-A-S-O-A-L 84. Every time I do an interview, I say the people's Twitter names like 100 times, and there's always messages going, who was that? Can you link their – so I try to say it over and over. We're talking about race in America and the way it impacts politically. And there is an odd kind of, I don't know if it's hypocrisy or stupidity or what it is, but I feel the need to address this because I think it's especially prominent in the boomer generation. But I also felt it as well because I've admitted before, and people tell me to not bring it up. I voted for Obama in 2008, and part of it was this kind of idea is that I wanted to be a part of like the final nail in the coffin of American racism. That like you grow up hearing all these stories of Jim Crow and slavery and it's so bad. And of course you grow up in the 90s and you didn't feel a lot of racial tension, not in Houston anyway. Like there wasn't this big divide. It didn't seem like a major topic of contention. So when 2008 rolls around, it was like, okay, symbolically we're moving on and I want to be a part of this. And I want to, you know, you hear your grandparents talking about, I marched in Alabama and they were a part of something great. And I want to be a part of something great. And again, even if you think that is ridiculous and you think I was stupid for believing that, maybe I was, but a lot of people still feel that. And even if they can't express it, there's something in them this is like a spiritual thing for them, that they're like atoning for the sins of the past and they're participating in this sort of this ceremony of handing off the torch, you know, because of our previous sins. And I feel like we got to break through that. I feel like we got to, because what happens is then those people give their support to the actual divisive democratic, you know, identity politic people, and it only makes things worse. So it's sort of a long rambling question, but do you see that? And how do you think we get through to these people that think they're they're doing something, they're participating in an extended version of the civil rights movement by, you know, voting for Kamala because she's a black woman. I see this as such a barrier to us just actually solving problems, is this mindset. And even though I got through it, I don't know how to make other people like get over this idea and realize that they're being lied to. Because I realized I was lied to when Obama got into office and was making everything worse and was dividing people by race and, you know, saying he looked like, you know, Trayvon Martin looked like my son. It was like, okay, I got tricked. I thought I was voting to overcome this. Instead, they tricked me into voting to have this be a thing forever. I'm sorry for rambling, but do you see what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? And do you see this in the Democrats, and how do we get through to them that like they're only perpetuating the problems they think they're solving?
Yeah, I totally agree. And as I said, the black community has completely regressed. A lot of these people are cosplaying MLK. They want to be a reincarnation of MLK in a modern world as if it is still 1942 and we are trying to end segregation. Right. So a lot of them want to live out that dream. And when you have people like Kamala Harris being rewarded for putting on these ghetto performances, it keeps the black community thinking, hey, maybe this is my way to success. Maybe this is my way to getting a better foot in my door, in the door, et cetera. And it reinforces that this is the way black people should behave, that this is a correct behavior. It's not a correct behavior. It is regressive, and it causes people to look at us as sociopaths. I think it is very sociopathic to kill other races and then want to be seen as the number one victim in America.
Right. And again, you see this over and over where, you know, they'll never write black man in the headlines. It's always, you know, youth ruffian kills person on the train, you know, and it's like, OK, there's a black person then, because they refuse to publish the race. But if you're hiding this information, how are you ever going to solve the problem? And it's a problem. It's a big problem, as we've acknowledged. And yet they can't solve it, and they keep pushing back on it. Well, one thing I want to ask you is, the end of the last segment, you mentioned, you said black people respect loyalty. I hadn't thought of it that way, that, you know, Trump has this base that's been loyal to him and that he needs to be loyal to them. And that by doing that, you know, that's something that will resonate with the black community. Can you expand a little bit on that? Because that's something I think, again, people don't understand. If you haven't lived around black people or gone to school with black people, if you only hear about black people on the evening news, you might not, you know, even understand how black culture, you know, operates in America. But I think you're exactly right that like loyalty, honor, these things actually exist very strongly in the black community, and they respect it. It's a little bit different than the way white Americans might conceive of these things. Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yes, I think that one thing that is changing the way black people are seeing Trump is the way he dealt with the criminal cases against him, and also the way that he's dealing with the assassination attempt. He's showing strength. He's showing loyalty to his cause because he's not running away. He's not saying, you know what, this is too hard. I'm going to keep fighting for black people, black Americans, white Americans, all Americans to have what they deserve in America. And that in itself is a huge olive branch to us. That's something we can trust. We're already being shown by Democrats that we cannot trust them again. They have told us for years that if we side with Trump, if we side with conservatives, we will turn into slaves, we'll be put back into slavery, and we will be lynched. And there are a lot of very stupid black Americans who still believe that. The rest, as you can see, are coming around. They're starting to realize these things are not true. And so for us to see Trump continuously take all this on, including the criminal cases, including the death threats, that's a soldier. And that's something we understand, you know, thugging it out.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. No, it's so just almost funny to me. Like, it must be so funny, you know, to be in a position like yourself as a black woman that's conservative. Cause I could just see people coming up and going, Are you going to vote for Trump? He's let out Kodak Black. And it's like, why would you think I care about this? Like, it's also just kind of silly. It's all very silly, but with obviously very real implications. And one of the controversies recently was Trump using the term black jobs as if that's an absurd thing to say. What's your take on that whole controversy? Because Trump said, you know, illegal immigrants are taking black jobs. People are saying, what the hell's a black job? It's like, I don't know, a job a black person does. This isn't hard to figure out. But this is what they do. They take a positive thing from Trump going, hey, I'm defending black people's employment from foreign interlopers. And that somehow turned into him being racist somehow. What was your take on the black jobs controversy?
The left has nothing left. They don't have any actual criticism. They know that they have beat the racism thing with to a dead horse analogy, if you will. And so they're just using the buzzwords. Trump is racist. He said something about black people. That's basically what it's coming down to at this point. Anything he says with the word black into it, they're going to turn into a racist situation. And the stupid ones, they will go along with it. And the ones with bad intentions for the white community and for America, the extremists, black extremists, they will also go along with it. I think it's very ridiculous that we're looking at things like people saying mean words to the black population when the black population, we are the meanest ones to each other. Nobody says anything worse to us than we say to each other. So it's getting a little bit ridiculous at this time that there's such a rush to try to protect us from any sort of criticism, and black job, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. And again, I think that most people, the silent ones, can see through that. We know what he meant. And we are allowed to describe jobs as black. We're allowed to describe them as white. We're allowed to do that. There was nothing wrong with what Trump said at all.
No, 100%. I think it's just so absurd the way they have so many people in this country tricked into, you know, hating their fellow Americans while succumbing to people that are actively destroying them. As you point out, I mean, abortion, I think now, or at least in certain localities, I mean, more black babies are aborted than are born. So it's like not even an exaggeration to say that like the majority of black people are killed every year through abortion. And yet they promote it as if it's a civil right, you know, equivalent of being allowed to sit at the lunch counters. It's like, I don't know. Yeah, it's like they're desperate to be oppressed. It's like, man, they really wish they lived back in Jim Crow to have something to fight against. It's like, fight against the Chinese. Fight against the New World Order. Fight against the people destroying you. There's still a fight. It's just not with white people. You missed that boat. That was a while ago.
Exactly.
Oh, man. God, I don't know.
Exactly.
This stuff's also so absurd. It's hard to even wrap your mind around. I want to thank you for coming on. Sharika Soul has been my guest from the Divested Diary podcast, divesteddiary.com, at Sharika Soul 84 on X. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Harrison.
My pleasure. Absolutely. Folks, that's about going to do it for us. I do want to remind you to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support everything that we do here. Just try to get you the truth. Just trying to empower humanity. Just a humble battleship against the armada of the globalists asking for you to lend a hand. Go to InfoWarsStore.com to guarantee that we're on the air and in the fight against the satanic New World Order, the pedophiles that are running our world into the ground. InfoWarsStore.com. Stay tuned for Alex Jones. It begins in 90 seconds.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Hello,
it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.